All right, sir. Thank you. We got to take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Taking your calls when you call us at 434-1790. On our WhatsApp, this one is for you, Peter. Good morning, Peter. Even though I voted B in 2018, 2013, and 2008, I used to vote D before that. I think that you are being extraordinarily harsh on the remnant DLP this morning. Okay. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
How are you today, my dear?
Not too bad. I completely agree with that person just now. I pay a source too. My source that I just paid last week was $25. And I could imagine where it can come to next bill.
Your what? Sorry?
Source. I pay for source too.
Sewage. Oh, okay.
I connected to the source system for years now. My last source bill last week was $25. And I can imagine how high it's going to be when it comes the next time. And I don't think that's fair. And plus, I think we're going to lose up on tourists this time because of the fee. I think so. Like, people are going to go to the other Caribbean country instead. I totally believe that. I don't think that the budget was that great. I think they criticize them for so much taxes, and them do worse.
You have a cell phone?
If I'm using a cell phone?
If you use a cell phone.
No.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think it's a little too hard, though.
So are you a pensioner?
Yes, I am.
I see. Do you get a contributory or non-contributory pension?
Contributory. I see. $358 every 2 weeks.
So the additional water rates and sewage, and water rates and the additional rate on sewage would impact you very heavily.
Yes.
I see.
I think so.
All right. Well, don't forget, it's not starting quite yet.
It's starting for next month.
Oh, July 1st, yeah. Well, that's true.
I see Peter Vickers talks too much, though. He's taking all the people's time. He talks too much, man.
All right, my dear. Okay. Well, you have a great day. Thank you very much. You're on Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm well.
Good morning to Peter.
I'm silent.
You're silent.
Listen, they said I talk too much.
Peter, I got a few things for the Dems today if they aren't happy. And those who have an issue, let me say up front that I have no issue at all with the presentation by the Prime Minister, and I will say why I have absolutely no difficulty with it. But I want to say first, Peter, to the last caller, that if those persons who are supporters of the Democratic Party, who benefit from non-contributory pensions, have a problem with the budget, then when the postman threw the check through their window for the $225, they should get the postman and tell them, send it back, I don't want it. That is unfair and it's unreasonable. I think that's what they should do. Because none of them are doing it. All the talk, they're running, none of them are doing it. Not one. They're going to go downtown and they're going to buy the groceries with the same money. Right? But the point I want to make, right, to the naysayers of the Democratic Labor Party, is that for 10 years they were in office, Peter. This is the thing that baffles the mind.
Okay, this is Patrick.
This is Patrick,
okay.
This is something that baffles the mind. That for 10 years, the Democratic Labor Party haven't been the administration that they did. Could not find the time to bring relief to ordinary citizens in this country. And Shire, 18 days being elected to office as a prime minister, with what she came and found, could have find the time to bring a budget like this. But it is beyond human comprehension. I don't mind the talk with the Dems, because I won't want them to tell me name the day, the year, and the time that the former Minister of Finance stood on the floor of Parliament and brought a budget that was not heinous on the backs of poor people in this country. Name one. And I got $1,000 for them when they name it. Name one budget that he brought for the 8 years that he was Minister of Finance. If there's one thing I hate, Peter, is people, hypocrisy, right, is a very serious thing, you know. And it is often carried out by hypocrites, you know. The practice of hypocrisy. Because that you can't, in good conscience, having heard the presentation of the by the Honorable Prime Minister, I can come to talk about water, Peter. The bottom line, we are here because of no... I'm not going to say because of no fault of ours, because that, no fault of mine, because I didn't vote for them in 2013. But those persons who forced the Democrat Labour Party on us in 2013, that caused them to return to office, are the ones primarily responsible for the myriad of issues that we are having in the country that the Prime Minister now has to come and address. So if all of us are now being called upon to share in the burden in rescuing the country, why then should a supporter have an issue with the presentation on Monday in circumstances, Peter, when none for the better part of 10 years, they have not brought relief? Peter, you can imagine that civil servants work in this country for 10 years and then get a salary increase. Haven't got a salary increase, but the Dems will come here and tell you that is the worst budget. But you had individuals who their support, Peter, that collect 10%, and then we had to start to play the semantics that it is not a salary increase, that is a restoration. It's not a bit of semantics, but the bottom line is that they get more money. And Peter, it was the biggest media turn that ever took place in this country because the money was given retroactively. So you know, when you pay a media turn, you throw in $100 every week. At the end of the 8 weeks or 10 weeks duration of the meeting, you get back in a lump sum. The biggest media turn to take place in this country in the face of public servants who, Peter, every single time a budget come, had to be faced with less disposable income. And then people can be saying that a budget presentation, Peter, let me say this. 9 years, $22 billion. And they were going after additional eight they were going after. Peter, what have we found? I listened to the Prime Minister very attentively on Monday. And I learned for the first time that when the Barrister, the party left office, the debt stood at $6 billion. The Democrat Party has now lost the government in 2008, leave office on the 24th of May, and now the debt now stands at $15 billion. The irony in all of this is that the $6 billion by the Barrister Party, we had good roads, 6% employment in this country. You had four people working in one house, including the maid. But all things were happening. Economy was thriving, even though they leave a $6 billion debt. What is there to show for the $15 billion now? Know that this was more money on the domestic. I heard Cycle said something about defaulting. He had somebody in the studio talking about defaulting. Well, the Dems must come forward, Cycle, and remind us that they have defaulted on the domestic loans. I have the evidence. They defaulted on the domestic.
You know, the thing with that, Patrick, though, is not the extent to which there's a default. I remember hearing an analysis from one of the economists who was saying that in fact, the only loan that is due now is Credit Suisse, mm-hmm. and Credit right. Suisse has been paid late in the past.
Right.
So the difference now is that what you have is an announcement that there will be a default, while in the past there was not an announcement, but there was a late payment, which is effectively the same thing.
I don't think
so. If you were able to
you
make
recall
payment,
when Motley, sorry to cross you, but recall when
Prime Minister Motley.
Well,
yeah.
Well, then she was then opposition leader Motley had accused Sinclair of not paying
on time.
Okay, not paying on time. In his response, it was quite clear that Barbers had not paid what they should have paid. Mm-hmm. They did pay. They paid a little late.
Right.
But they didn't pay what they should have paid as well. So,
I remember that comment specifically. Right. He said, we may pay late,
yes.
But we always pay.
Precisely.
Right.
Okay. But the thing about it is, it was not, but, and that's why I think that when we talk about this default, I see it as when you run a household, you make a decision. Look, we have all these things to do. We have a very little bit of small amount of money.
Prioritize.
So we got to prioritize. Yeah. So let's hold our payments. We see all of our commitments first, and then we start afresh. Mm-hmm. Patrick, you have the last word.
But Sanka, I am glad you're going there, you know, but because more to the point, right? I'm not an economist, but my common sense tells me that if we are going into a restructuring program, and the Prime Minister said that these are interest payments, not the principal, the debt, you know, the interest payments amount to $800 million. And you are going to restructure the debt to give you rest and room. Why then would you want to use this opportunity to pay? When you can restructure and then do what you're going to do, when you have more money to do the things that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Well, thank you for your call. Let's take another call. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Sanka. How are you?
I am well, thank you. And you?
And let me just say to Peter Wickham, continue to speak, Peter. You have started this journey educating the people from since 2013 right to now. You not only educate the people in Barbados, but the people, Barbados, living in United Kingdom, United States, and Canada. So don't let nobody try to silence you. You have made a valuable contribution, you and Patrick. What I'm looking at this thing from another perspective, now you have the Minister of Culture who was there yesterday making criticism of the Barbados Labour Party with the fact that the people of Barbados had voted for change. The people of Barbados had said, look, we're going to clean shop, and that is why they give the Barbados Labour Party all 30 seats. I'm asking that the CEO of the National Culture Foundation should be sent and immediately leave.
Why?
Because you cannot allow persons that were up in arms with the Democratic Labour Party to continue to lead such places as rural development, urban development, transport board, etc. Because you will see from the way how Essex and those get on yesterday, they're giving the impression that the Barbados Labour Party have inflicted her MPN on the people of Barbados when it was them. So therefore, I am calling on John King with immediate effect to send the CEO of the Culture Foundation, Derek Allen, send them on vacation. They have, I guess, vacation leave accumulated, and then have your investigation into these contracts that was given back or renewed during the course of election. I don't know what Peter have to say on that.
Sir, the first thing, you would recognize that one of the complaints that Ms. Motley had from day one is the fact that a number of contracts have been renewed. This is of general managers as well as CEOs in a number of the statutory organizations. It's going to be very difficult to get rid of those political appointees. We had a situation back in 2008, if you recall, when George Edgell for the urban development and Peter Scott, who was appointed in rural development, when Mr. David Thompson came in as prime minister, he had a great displeasure of having these people in office, and he fired them. Both gentlemen subsequently won their cases of wrongful dismissal, but Peter Scott died before he got a cent. But George Edgell collected over $1 million, and that was because they had interest in there. So you have a situation that legally all these people are still in position, but what you're arguing is if it's ethically correct what was done, because a lot of these contracts were renewed within six months of the election, and they were renewed for 5 years. So I think that the government would now have to look at these contracts and see how they can maybe look at some sort of malfeasance, because certainly it was in bad faith that these were done. But you can't just fire anybody. It would be a very expensive exercise. The precedent has been set, and these guys are in place. All the persons that you mentioned. Okay? We take another call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning. This is the Statsman.
Yeah, and particularly Vikram, we haven't spoken in a very, very long time.
That's right. Yeah, but you didn't tell me how I can contact you, so.
Man,
just gotta wait.
Man, I think they're treating you badly during the election period. And let me say to you, don't let nobody sell it to you. What you have to say make more sense than some of those who want to sell on you. Don't be afraid of anyone.
Can I just say this thing? I've been waiting to say this for a long time, but I remember years ago I had a conversation with the now Prime Minister. At the time she was leader of the opposition. And we were talking about criticism. And she's the one that told me that, you know, people tend to throw rocks in a mango tree that got in mangoes. Yes, you don't throw rocks in a mango tree that empty. So
Of course.
She told me if I could take any sense from that, then you know that is a sense of compliment. And I always noticed that people who call and say they don't want to hear from me is usually Dems. Yeah, it seems that there's a I seem to touch a particular raw nerve where Dems are concerned that they would really prefer me to shut up.
Yeah, but sometimes listening to you, your response, you seem to get on the back foot. I get criticism as well.
Because I get concerned.
Really get me on the back foot. Because hey, what you going to say? Once is the truth, once can be verified. That's the really important thing, right? You call it a fabulous voice. You need to find another F word, though. I don't think they're fabulous at all. I will not waste much time on the DLP. They should not be even speaking in Barbados for what they've done to the country. You know, they wrecked a good country, top-class country, and now got the gall to be speaking. They should be hanging their heads in shame, man. I would not even waste much time talking with them, you know? I will not touch. That's a creative budget. That's as much as I will say about the budget, because I really don't want to talk about budget today. But I will say something that I observed over the years, that the BLP are generally treated differently than the D's, right? The latest example we have here, the one with the cess on the field at the pump. The facts are, right? We had cess on the pump from 2010 to currently. From 2010, before the murmur. Before the murmurs, cess at the pump were put on the pumps. We also had about on three occasions that where the former administration carried out excess tax on the same fluid on about three occasions, as we said. Right? No sooner had they gotten into office, they raised the excess tax on the fluid to 75%. That carried the cost of living ever since then. On the second occasion, they met with the IMF in October 2011 and subsequently with the IADB on the 6th of March 2012 regarding the U.S. $380 million fiscal consolidation policy-based loan. But we had four things that they had to adhere to. A, they had to retain the additional 2% VAT. They had to leave that. That's why Mr. Sinclair never brought it down. Then you had the user fees also, the formerly, that had to remain. They had to increase the excise tax again by 50%, right? And then you had the removal of the entertainment and travel allowance to the public. Good? And the third thing they put on excise tax on fluid was in the 2017 budget, with a 25 cent excise tax placed on gas and a 20 cent excise tax placed on diesel. Now, in 2010, these are the times when they placed the cess now on at the pump. In 2010, the government placed a 17 cent cess on fluid at the pump for a year, right? In order to raise $25 million. Right? But you know what? They kept on that for about in 2014 when they replaced it with another cess, this time for 20 cents to raise I think $30 million. Right? And then during the 2015 budget, the Prime Minister Sinclair said the cess that was imposed some time back will have to stand on for another year, because he said that a substantial amount would have to go to the QEH. But the CEO from the QEH said they have never received this, any money. But you know what's also important? The police have to struggle with 15,000 vehicles on the road that are not paid up for road taxes. So that's a really a significant thing. It's a more efficient way of getting to that. But
My main concern, though, is and I've heard you and I understand what you're saying, and in case you're trying to put here, my main concern is I think the government now needs to start looking at getting the details of how everything is going to work out there. There's some confusion. In fact, we've heard one caller here earlier talking about the contributory pension. I wanted to find out if the base contributory pension would be increased. I know people are concerned about the legal aspect in terms of the road tax. If there's no road tax, then you wouldn't carry a disc then?
How of course that? You would. If you listen to the Prime Minister, I really, sorry, good morning, sir. I was going to hold this to Friday, but it keeps coming up because it's also on the WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Prime Minister said to transfer a car, to register a car, will be $400. And for a commercial vehicle, I think it's $1,000.
Yeah.
So you have to have something that says, the important thing is the insurance, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know why we keep talking about road tax. You see this road tax thing? I want people to think about this for a second. Now, let me just walk through it slowly. And I really wish the public relations people would do their public relations. Sankar, if you have a, let me give you a big car. You have a Range Rover, okay? You pay $1,600. I have a Vitara, I pay $450. Your gas tank is 40. Your gas tank is 40 liters, right? My gas tank is 40 liters. So we have the same size gas tank. Gasoline is $5 a liter. So to fill your tank takes $200. To fill my tank takes $200. There's 40 cents for road tax. So you pay $16, I pay $16. We're paying the same tax. Here's the difference. I live in Beckles Road, and I travel here to Starcom, get out, go back home, and I do nothing else. I walk to the beach. I go next door by Jordan's. So that $200 lasts in me a month. You live in the Rock, and you work in the airport. And you're driving up and down, and you're going and fetching at hoodies and thing on Saturday night and stuff. So your $200 lasts in a week. Why are we going about road tax? Because when you paid $1,600, all you got was a disc on your car. When I pay $450, all I got is a disc on my car. When I pay $200, I have gas in my car. We failing. When we talk about, I got children, I traveling, I paying more. For what? You have gas in your car. You're still putting gas in your car and driving. That's what you're paying. For the $1,600, you got nothing but a disc. Mm-hmm. The countries that use the gasoline for road tax have introduced a fee for a license plate when you pay your insurance. So when you pay your insurance, January 31st, deadline date, you get a blue disc on your car saying 2019 M50 MCW or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So if you see a car on the road in 2019 with a green license plate, they have not paid for the current year, and you lock them up and pull them off the road.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Now, if there's somebody in the government listening, you just got that for free.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Statsman, I give you 30 more seconds.
I had basically concluded what I want to say.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good
we'll
to
take
hear
a commercial
sir.
Break at this time, and we'll be right back. Yeah. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sankar Price here with you, along with Peter Wickham. I just want to read this note I got from a very reliable source we have in the public service vehicle sector. And he's saying that the upcoming fuel tax does the following to PSVs. They use between 80 to 160 liters daily. Presently, that's between $67,000 to $134,000 that they spend annually on fuel. After July 1st, they'll be spending between $76,000 to $153,000, meaning increases ranging from $9,600 for small buses to $19,200 for big buses. Road tax saves $1,800, but fuel tax requires $19,200. Owners are already panicking as they are considering sending home 1,500 to 1,700 conductors to at least stay in business. And he's saying that this needs urgent discussion. Peter, your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that they have a legitimate basis. Remember, I was talking earlier about the bus fare increase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for them, they're concerned about the savings that they have made in relation to registration. They're wondering whether it will be enough to compensate them for their increased costs, because they will pay less for registration annually. But certainly, the cost of fuel might increase. So I think that they have a legitimate question.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question here from a lady who has a child that participates professionally in swimming. And they're asking about the purchase of sporting material from overseas. There are some specialized swimmers who use highly technical suits that can cost up to $300 US. So when you purchase something like that online, in the future, you pay a value-added tax. In situations where persons like these are representing Barbados, these types of suits are not sold in Barbados. You need to get them from overseas. What arrangements can be made regarding special facilities for the import of educational and also sporting goods in situations where people need them for national duty? Which is, I think, is an equally legitimate question mm-hmm. that has been raised by this lady as the gentleman from mm-hmm. the, whatchamacallit?
EPSV.
EPSV, yeah, EPSV. Yeah.
But clearly, and this is something that when people are doing national duty, I mean, athletes and whatnot, I always think that certain considerations should be put mm-hmm. in place. As long as everything is organized and they approach it from early enough that they can go, because why should, for example, I remember the last Olympics, all the uniforms and whatnot were made and commissioned, and they were done overseas, as far as I remember. You know, and then there was this problem of them coming here because they have to pay duty and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It was foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
These things, as long as somebody is doing national duty, everything concerning them, I think there should be some sort of duty-free status or mm-hmm. at least some small duty that people pay on these mm-hmm. things. I think it's only reasonable. There must be some incentive given to make people want to produce at their best at all times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's insurmountable. It's not rocket science.
Yeah.
No, that's the way I see it. The only concern that I have here with this PSV thing is always, why do we always come down? We got saying home people.
It is a threat.
It is.
Yeah, it's the kind of threat that you believe that government will respond to. So you say this thing, you touch the nerve that you believe that they will find sensitive, and sending home people is always a sensitive nerve.
Mm. Oh, boy. Anyway, we go back to our phone lines. You are on the air. Good morning. It's 11:19.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Nice hearing your voice.
Yes, but it's first time talking to both of you, Mr. Wickham, and you.
Good morning, ma'am.
Yes, please. I want to say, first of all, thanks to the Almighty for bringing me out of these hands of the clutch of, oh, Lord, have his mercy. I got the breath to talk to you all now this morning. Right. And, Peter, keep doing what you're doing. Don't let nobody tell you what you should say or what you can say. You're free now to say what you want to say.
I'm always free.
And you deliver us. You help the people of Barbados to see, to open their eyes, especially in St. John. In my heart, but anyhow, this is what
I want. Are you
I
from
want.
St. John?
No, please, I am okay. not from there. Okay. But I want, first of all, to give God thanks again for delivering us from this clutch of these people that don't have. I want you all to call them and beg them to come and apologize to us for doing us this, treating me so badly for 10 years. All of them, from the Prime Minister back down, Mr. Short, from he back
Tell
down.
Me something. What was so offensive, based on what you're saying, what was so offensive about the last administration, in your view?
Because they think they put themselves there, that nobody didn't put them there. They just put themselves there, and they don't want to listen, don't want to hear nothing. That is their way, and they will be that way till they're dead. Nothing can change them, and I don't want to see the back of them back, because it's a waste of time. my gentleman. It's a waste of time.
So, but you're hearing, you're hearing from Dr. Eswick, and you're hearing from certainly from Mr. Innes. And if I recall, Dr. Eswick, he said clearly that the policies of Mr. Sinclair were going to fail. And Mr. Innes has spoken on a number of things. So weren't you impressed with them?
Yes, both of them, two mouth. They too need to apologize badly. And also to Mr. Blackett, he too need to apologize. All of them, look, I just don't want to talk about this anymore.
You can send it to church to beg forgiveness.
Listen, I would like that to stop. I want them to come and apologize to my prime minister, my wonderful, sweetheart prime minister. You listen to the budget. Listen, this is the first time in Barbados in history. I'm 78 years old. I listen to Parliament. This is one that out of this world. I never see a budget speak like this yet and answer nobody to interrupt. Oh, it was lovely.
But the increases going to affect you in terms of like increased water rates.
Listen, whatever the prime minister do, I'm willing to accept. I'm the pensioner, and if I have to pay some of it, I'm satisfied. Why? Because I am deliberate out of all of the foolishness before that they was doing. I want to see she bring back the economy, back that my grandchildren and great grand will have enough, will be free. Oh, Lord, no. I no matter what. I am willing to accept my pension if she's whatever she say.
All right, thank you very much.
Whatever she do. And I just want you to call them, make them apologize to her for me, you know. They need to get on their knees and apologize. Apologize to the people of Barbados. Look, they deliver them, look, God give them the strength in the hands. We don't want to see them back again. Never, ever.
All right, thank you very much. I just want to read this WhatsApp. I agree that Frondastrup brought down all the MPs of the DLP, rightfully so. They were sacrificial lambs due to the Eager 11. I'm a DLP supporter, and I'm glad the BLP won. The DLP deserved to lose. No transparency. The members of the party were frustrated and lost faith in the leader and the rest. Never want to see those representatives again. Will not support the party if they return. Interesting. It's 11:23. Don't forget at 11:55 we have the regional roundup. You're on the air. Good afternoon.